What was your first spiritual experience you can remember of?
What is my first spiritual experience? Well, the fact of the matter is that the first spiritual experience I can remember, which I think is the first one relating to this life, was the one I mentioned in my book, Auras and Colors, where I can remember just before I was born, before I actually came into the world, I can remember a situation where I was in, as I can remember it, it's like a large room or space or hall or something. I often get a vision of this, a huge, a bit like the inside of a massive cathedral or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And being surrounded by other entities, some of whom were not obviously people about to be born, but I knew that I was going to be born. I knew that I was going to go through some kind of doorway into another experience. And I can remember that quite clearly. I can't remember what the instructions were exactly at this moment, but I know I was being given instructions. And a bit like a briefing, if you like.
Okay.
And I remember that very clearly. So you could say that that's my first spiritual experience that I can recall relating to this life, yeah.
And you could remember this memory all the time from the moment?
Yes, it's always been there. I didn't know what it was originally, of course. You know, I thought it was a dream or something, some sort of fantasy, but I then realized that it was what we call a pre-birth experience of some sort. And I now know that before we're born, we have a kind of run-through of possibilities, and this is done with various spiritual beings of some importance, some of whom will try to guide us through the life so we can achieve whatever we have to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand the context of it now, but early on, it's like when I first saw angels as a child, I didn't know what they were to start with. I thought they were something important and something special, but I didn't know what they were. You know, it's only with hindsight that I've worked out that's what they must be. So they are. Yeah. So that's my first spiritual memory, if you like. And I remember a little bit about the birth time, a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I remember most was the contrast between the world that I left and the world that I came into. The world that I left was very bright in terms of its light and its energy and its colors and all the rest of it. A bit like you have in dreams sometimes, very vivid. Whereas the step through was quite gray. You know, once I was sort of through, I remember the dullness of it. And I remember then probably seeing what are auras, if you like, because the auras are a memory of the world you just come from, in a sense. It's connected with that. But I remember the kind of grayness of it all. And it wasn't as bright. So that's my first spiritual memory. So it's about as good as it gets, I suppose.
Okay. So I've read, I think, also in one of your books that you were hit by a lightning.
Yes, that's right, yeah. I was.
Does this stroke change your kind of seeing auras and this thing in any way?
Well, it does, because it changes me. You know, I mean, if you get hit by a bit of lightning, of course it changes you, and it changes the way you look at life, so it changes your energy. I never disbelieved in the spiritual life and the spiritual world. I mean, as a boy, I always felt that was important. My parents had no problem getting me to go to church. I'd go to church twice on a Sunday to do different churches.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so, I used to go Protestant and Catholic on a Sunday morning, believe it or not. I'd do the Catholic one first and the Protestant one next.
Okay.
Because I was always hungry to find out what the meanings were of things. And you know, the church was the place where I thought I might find it. So going to church was never impossible for me. So when I had my experience with the lightning, I was about 17, I've still got the newspaper report in my office here from the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that taught me, of course, I had a very conscious out-of-the-body or near-death experience, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, helps you realize quite clearly that whatever is going on in this physical life, it's not the reality. It's some drama we live through somehow. But there's other levels of consciousness which are more comfortable than this, much more comfortable and much more attractive, really. And that taught, and of course, but I didn't stay in that consciousness because I was obviously not meant to die at 17. And now I'm 65, I suppose, you know, I can understand why, because it was nearly 50 years ago. But that dramatically changed me, and it added something, I think.
And when have you decided to become a healer, or have you directly decided to become a healer, or was it a process?
Both. The answer to that is both things are correct. Looking back on it, I can see that one of my desires, I suppose, in life has always been to help people in difficulties. It's always been that, you know. I was always good at helping people that had a problem, that had difficulty in some way or another. And I often felt frustrated that I couldn't help enough, or as much as I thought I should. So those signs were always there, and even in my career when I was in education, I was always appointed to positions, even if I didn't want them, where I had to work with people that had real difficulties, behavioral, emotional, whatever. And so that was always there. And then I think it was about 1972, something like that, I went to have some healing myself from a healer who had a friend who was involved in the spiritual work, and I had a problem that wasn't getting sorted out. He suggested I saw a healer, and I went to see this healer in this darkened room, a trance healer. He worked in trance, and I was quite amazed at how he diagnosed what was going on in me. But as the session concluded, this chap turned to me and said, "You're a healer too, you know," something like that, and "you will do this kind of work." And I thought that was totally ridiculous, I have to say. I thought that was totally ridiculous. But by that time, I was already looking at things like meditation, and a year or two later, I began to study meditation and so on. And one thing led to another, and then in the late 70s, I began to explore healing and what we call spiritual healing. And discovered that, you know, on occasion I could be quite effective. I also went on to discover that, of course, most people can be effective at different times with different people if they develop that in themselves and can help in some way, even if it's not the obvious way. So it was a process, but there were certain signposts, we would say, that helped me understand it. And I officially became a healer in, I don't know, about 1981, I think, something like that, which is maybe 30 years ago now, isn't it? And that was when I officially became registered as a healer in a healing organization in this country. It was a process with certain signposts, yeah.
Okay. Then I've heard of a heart star and your connection to it. What exactly is this?
Well, that's another story, really, which is parallel to it. Where the meaning of it all didn't become apparent until I was in my late 30s, probably. It would have been in the early 1980s. It corresponded with the healing work. It sort of paralleled it. When I was a very young boy, and again I mentioned it in one of my books, I think, that I had this visitation one night. Which I thought was a dream, but it wasn't a dream. I now know that, you know, it was another dimensional experience, and that dreams are that kind of thing anyway. I was visited by these entities, and they were quite strange to look at, although very beautiful in themselves. And the thing I remember most was this light, a very beautiful blue turquoise colour almost. And I didn't know who these beings were, but they kind of helped me during a very bad nighttime experience with some strange beings, other beings. And then gradually over the years I looked at this kind of thing, and I then was told by a very famous British medium who is now dead, a chap called Gordon Higginson, who said to me, he said, you've got to work with these higher beings, you know, these higher beings, and you've got to work with them in this sort of altered state of consciousness and telepathically and so on. And I didn't really like the idea. I'd seen mediums working with their guides and so on, and I thought some were good and I thought some were not good. So I kind of resisted it, and then again, after a little revelation and some thought, I decided to develop this connection. And over a period of time I did, through, you know, lots of meditation and attunement practice and things like this. It took me years, actually. About 7 years, I think. And that was very important. And but they didn't give me a name, you see. And I said, well, you know, can I have a name? And they said, well, you can have one name for the whole group, because there were different entities. And you can have one name. And they gave me the name Heartstar. And this was really, you know, this is a group of entities that helped me with my teaching generally, and also channel through me direct when I do Heartstar channelings, or they sometimes work with me on other things, healing, of course, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they also work with me. I have a regular group in England, a teaching group once a month. About 25, 30 people come on it, and they come through and teach and help people. So that's who the Heartstar group up is. It's a group of entities. Now, I've had other mediums confirm this. And there is an interesting story linked to this. Some years later, when I was already aware of these beings, and I knew they had a strong connection with the Sirius system, the Sirius star system, and there was a chap came to see me for healing. I gave him a meditation to do. And he went home to London, where he lived, and he did this meditation one night, and this entity appeared and said, will you draw us and send the picture to Paul Ambillion, where his guides, and we come from Sirius. And this guy happened to be an animator, you know, he was an illustrator and an animator. He worked on movies with Steven Spielberg, he's done things on television, you know, others in America, and he's written books on animation. And so they picked the right chap, didn't they? And he sent me this drawing, and I've still got it with a note. And when it arrived, my jaw literally fell, because there was this drawing of these beings that I'd seen when I was aged about 4 or 5. And I've still got the drawing, and it was amazing. And this is one of those confirmations, as I said, comes years later, you know. And this is this group of entities who teach and work with me. And Heartstar is the kind of signature name, you know, for them all. Okay.
Okay. Then please tell us a little bit about your current work and your plans for the future.
I've got lots of projects. My work comes in different sections. I mean, I still think that the core of my work is about healing, and particularly helping people understand their own healing processes, mm-hmm. through teaching them meditation, healing techniques, and so on. But also training people to help others through their healing skills. So I see that as ongoing and continuous, and I think it will always be very much in the center of what I do. But my other work comes out of that, you know, linked to the work with the human aura and helping people, guidance through that. That will always be there, I think. And also the Syrian work now, because of my connections through the guides, you know, these meditations that help link people with higher levels of themselves, and the connection with the esoteric and spiritual connection with the star system Sirius. And this is still developing. I'm still developing this process. There are 7 levels so far, and there's another 7 I'm just being introduced to. So that work is developing. I haven't written any new books for a few years. I'm actually working on 2 or 3 at the moment. One is connected with some of the communications over the years with people that have passed through into the spirit life. Mm-hmm. I'm putting a collection of those stories together, some hauntings and some communications with children and adults and various things. There's another book, which is all the serious meditations and attunements. I'm putting that together. I'm also doing a book that connects how the aura and the chakra system is influenced by the central teachings in the Christian Gospels, because they're actually esoteric teachings if they're interpreted in the right way. So I've got a few books going on, and I'm looking to develop some other diagnostic work. I've got a new project in England, which is very much to help businessmen and people that are not connected normally with spiritual life and the esoteric world to discover their spirituality. This has come through a businessman here who's been very successful in his life, and wants to develop a program to help people discover what he's found himself in recent years through things like Tai Chi and various things. And he's approached me to help him set up a program that can be offered to people coming over the threshold of discovery about themselves, you know, spiritually. So there's that. And also I'm still very concerned at helping people understand the changes that are going on now in consciousness affecting our material world, because I think we've still got huge changes to come. And helping people manage that and understand that, you know, they don't, it's not a question of dealing with the outer world, it's a question of dealing with the inner world and the inner part of themselves. So, you know, I still see that work as being important, and you know, those are the things that drive me on still. Yeah.
Okay. And this leads us to the last question, to the time of rapid changes in which we live. Do you have any small hints for our listeners how to manage this chaos?
Yes, I do. It's actually fairly simple, really. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff written on the changes. You can go on the internet and buy books, and there are huge tales of what's going to happen and what's not going to happen, and whether it's going to be sweet and beautiful or whether it's going to be through cataclysms and so on. And yes, I think we have to accept enormous socio-economic changes, because we can't carry on materially focused the way we are, that it's the end of an age, and people have to accept that we can no longer live by the intellect. We have to open up to the intuition, because this is where we're going. It's a far, far more effective way of being. So it's that advice, which means, of course, that instead of worrying about what's going on in the outer world, we should use that as a reference point, a mirror, a teaching experience, which sends us back into ourselves to realize that the changes in the outer world are because we're changing. You know, that it's not a question of trying to change the outer world. That we have to do our best with that. But the real essence of it is to do with the inner change and managing the self through letting go, releasing the past, learning and understanding what we can, forgiving, invoking the laws of love and attraction, and moving forward. It's that. If the world's changing, it's because we're changing. And that's the key to it all.
Okay, I understand. I thank you very much, Paul, for this small interview.
Okay.
And hope our listeners will have much fun and success with your meditations offered on MagicCast.
MagicCast.